الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم We start off by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is worthy of all of our praise and our gratitude is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who watches over all of our affairs. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who makes matters easy for us when they are difficult. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who rewards us for our struggles and the hardships that we go through. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who opens the doors for us when we feel like there are no doors available. We then send peace and blessing upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that was not only sent as a mercy to mankind, but was sent as a mercy to the world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who not only taught us how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but who was sent as a complete example, teaching us how to interact with one another, and teaching us our mu'amalat, our society obligations. أما بعد thereafter. Usually when I start a khutbah, like I just mentioned, I talk about in the prefix that the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us how we interact and deal with people. And how this made the Prophet ﷺ, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, how you have a complete example in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, because he teaches us every aspect of our life. Not just how we read Quran, or not just how we fast in month of Ramadan, not just how we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but how we function within a society. What are the necessities of living in a community? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that holding on to our religion and holding on to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not always be easy. Sometimes it will be extremely difficult. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a time will come, a time of patience, where somebody who adheres to their religion, who tries to hold on to their religion, who tries to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will be more difficult than holding on to a burning coal, a hot coal, if you were to put it into your hand and try to hold on to it. It's something that's extremely difficult. You would want to let go. And holding on to your religion and holding on to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a time will come where it will be just as hard. And for this very reason, in today's day and age, we have many sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are slowly, slowly becoming distinct. The way that we had animals that slowly, slowly became distinct, we now have sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that society and the community that we live in tells us, this is a sunnah that you no longer need. This practice, this way of life, is something that was necessary maybe before, but now in today's day and age, this sunnah isn't important. This action isn't important. And from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith I mentioned earlier, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "An-nikahu min sunnati nikah." Marriage is from my sunnah. And we live in a day and age where marriage slowly, slowly is one of those actions that people are moving away from. And there are reasons behind this, not just random. There are actual reasons. And unfortunately, you and I have a hand to play in this, where the sunnah of marriage is being pushed to a side. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya ma'ashir al-shabab, O young people, man istata'a minkum al-bay'a falyatazawwaj. If you are capable, then get married. Why? Because it is the best that will protect your gaze, and it will protect your chastity. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, and if you can, فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصِّيَامِ, then that person has to be very patient and fast and control their desires and control them. Now when we look at nikah through the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in like two verses, he brings in the element of marriage surrounded in just these two verses. Now before somebody says that, well, Sheikh, I'm already married, I don't need to listen to this khutbah, or I'm not looking to get married. The reality is that this verse doesn't only talk to people that are single or people that have children that are looking to get married, but this verse actually applies to every single one of us because we all have a role in our society. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he talks about the Muslim ummah, our community, he says that you are kalbunyan, you're like a building. Each level supports the other level. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about our community in the Quran, he says, Al-mu'minuna, the believers, They are in relationship with another, are like brothers, ikhwa. Now in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْكِهُ الْأَيَّامَ مِنْكُمْ. Get the people who are single, have them married. وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ. Now, we start off first as who is this verse talking to, and we kind of dug into that a little bit. Where this verse not only is talking to people that are single, but not only to their parents, but to the community at large. And the verse carries on, إِن يَكُونَ فُقَرَى يُغْنِيهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Then if you worry that they are broke, they are bankrupt, they don't have money, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich them. Now, earlier I said that we all have a hand in pushing this sunnah to a side, and I want to kind of expand on that, where our society today has made nikah a little bit difficult, marriage to become difficult. And there are a few reasons why I say this. The first of these reasons is that we put a lot of restrictions when it comes to marriage. One of these restrictions is of age. And this actually goes to two different extremes. On one hand, you have people that as soon as their daughter or as soon as their child reaches the age of, you know, in their teens, they become hyper-worried about getting them married, and to the point that they put this guilt on their child that, why are you not married yet? And the effects of this, what ends up happening is now you have sisters that are stuck at home and they are depressed. Why? Because constantly the parents, again, and this is a valid concern, again, I have daughters myself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in all of our children. That as a father, we worry that, look, if my child, my daughter is sitting at home and is not married, then that age will pass and then nobody will want to get married to her. But then we flip this around to the second extreme, that you have people, that youngsters in our community, that want to get married, and we say, not yet. You're still young. Just here, I had one of the youth come to me and said, Sheikh, my family actually encouraged me to go out and commit haram. That they've said to me, you're still young, go out, have a girlfriend, do what you want. Later on, come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Later on, practice deen. So a lot of times we put this restriction that you're too young to get married. Why? Because we have this ideal picture in our mind that my child, after he graduates from college, and then he goes off to medical school, then after that he does his residency, then after that he begins to earn good money, then I'll look into marriage. Why? Because I invested in my child. Once I start seeing that return in my investment that I put into my child, then I can look into having him married off. So the first reason for the first thing that we do to make marriage hard is to put these extreme restrictions of age. Now, of course, when you have somebody that you delay marriage of, one of the reasons why we constantly worry about marriage is that how much is he earning? And it's a valid concern. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually squats that concern in this same ayah. He says, إِنْ يَكُونَ فُقَرَىٰ. If they're broke, if they don't have the wealth, then it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's going to provide for them. A lot of times we think about the restrictions or the conditions of marriage, and the first condition, and sometimes the only condition that we worried about, is how much is he earning? مَنِسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمْ رُبَايَةً. The hadith I mentioned before, مَنِسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمْ رُبَايَةً, whoever is capable of getting married, doesn't only apply to finances. There are actually other conditions that have to be met that are actually more important than the finances of a person. Conditions like, does this person understand responsibility? He may have wealth, but does he understand the responsibilities that I am putting onto him by giving him my daughter? Is this person emotionally stable? Financially, maybe stable, but emotionally, is this person stable? Mentally, is this person stable? How is this person within their akhlaq, within their characteristics? And we just looked at the finance part of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then swats that away and says, إِنْ يَكُونُ فُقَرَاءَ, if he doesn't have money, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will provide, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will open doors. In this verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَانْكِهُ الْأَيَّامَ, marry off the single people. The Mufassirin right under Ayyama, a tafsir where a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge from a society that has a bunch of single people, where now people are comfortable of not getting married. Because you have to realize that when a person is comfortable not getting married, it's not that they are happy within, but there are a lot of reasons why this person is, you know, single. And single doesn't mean that this person is an angel. Bear in mind that if a person is 30 years old, who's gone to college, who works now and who is financially stable, bear in mind that temptations will come to their door. We live in America, where temptations is everywhere. Yes, we like to think of a world where everything is sunshine and rainbows and it's perfect, as if we're in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1400 years ago. But the reality is, in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1400 years ago, there was temptation there as well. The very famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who during the time of Hajj al-Wida, the final Hajj, this lady comes who's known to be very beautiful, and she's speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's so many lessons that we can learn from this hadith. And there's this young sahabi that was next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as she's speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this young sahabi, he couldn't help himself, but then he starts looking at her. He starts to check her out. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just lowers his head. So there were temptations back in those days as well. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do not marry the people that are pagan in their religion, in their beliefs. And under the tafsir of this verse, there's a mention of a person who had a, you know, for lack of better words, a girlfriend in Makkah al-Mukarramah. The hadith actually uses the word Khalila, a girlfriend in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And after accepting Islam, he goes back to her, and she gets upset that, you know, why don't you want to have a relationship with me? And he says, why? Because I'm a Muslim now. But those temptations were there. Then this person goes and says, oh, she says, I'm willing to marry you. And he says, before I marry you, I have to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because of your beliefs, your faith. You're still a pagan. But the point being is, even back in those days, there were temptation when it came to people that were single. And we ask ourselves the question, how is it that my child is 20 years old and I expect him to be completely pure? Maybe my child comes to me and says to me, Abba, I'm ready to marry you. I mean, he's not going to openly say that the girls in college, subhanAllah, more like astaghfirullah, what they're wearing, she's texting me, she wants to meet up at the MSA event. This person can't speak to their father like this. So all they come and say that, Abba, I think it's time that I get married. But in return, our answer is, why? You can't control yourself? I was 30 years old when I got married. I was 40 years old when I got married. That's the response that we shoot back at our children. Now, Shah Waliyul Muhaddis Zalwi, he says that this whole scenario where we're making marriage difficult is actually the way of shaitan. And he explains it. He says the way of shaitan is that shaitan, he makes the haram easy and makes the halal difficult. This is the society that we live in today, where haram is extremely easy. And many times we are paving that way for our children. You don't need to get married. Now this child is alone at night and is texting somebody. Why? Because that's a lot easier. Now that child is at night looking at things that they shouldn't look at or hiding relationships that they have. Why? Because that's easier. And Shah Muhaddis Zalu said, this is the way of Shaitan. That Shaitan, when he wants to defeat a nation, he crosses these paths over where the halal should have been easy. And the haram should have been difficult, but now it's swapped over and we expect our children to be these perfect angels that you want to stick to halal. Stay away from haram. But the reality is, temptations and the desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put within us is worse. The second reason why I say that we have a hand in this is that a lot of times we do not allow our children to marry the person who they want to. Now this might be, you know, something, a hard pill to swallow. Because as adults, we feel that we are more wise and we should have the choice. A lot of times it comes down to the fact that why did you choose and that this person isn't my choice? Parents have, again, a hard pill to swallow, but the truth. As parents, sometimes, even myself, I have an ego trip. Then why do you get to choose and why am I not choosing? I raised you, I paid for your food, I paid for your education, I paid for your house. At least I should get this choice. But the reality is we push our children to a marriage where they might not be happy. And if for a moment you take your ego and put it to a side and look at the reality, in a marriage that they're not happy in, the reality is they may go ahead and say kabul hai, say yes, for your sake, but in the truth, it was never kabul. They will never accept it. 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line. And what ends up happening is, that person that they wanted to get married, on their side, those emotions are still there. On the side, the feelings are still there. And at times, yes, they do reconnect. And now you just have a hot garbage fire. A huge dumpster fire where everything is completely wrong. Another reason that we make marriage hard is that we constantly look for the perfect spouse for our so-called perfect child. Reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us human beings, and each and every one of us has flaws. In one of these prophets, Allah alayhi wa sallam, says, "Kullu bani Adam khata'un." Every child of Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam makes mistakes, with flaws. But yet we look for that perfect child for our children. And what ends up happening is that we look for someone in a higher and more prestigious family who earns a lot more. And, you know, again, speaking about culture, the reason behind this is so that we can flaunt our daughter-in-laws that, look, this is who I got my child married to. If you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about one marriage from beginning to end. And this was a marriage of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam marriage, it starts off where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam meets his sisters and he helps them out. And then one of the sisters, the daughter of Shuayb alayhi salatu wasalam, she goes to her father and she shows interest in Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then this marriage takes place. Now, if you look at the condition of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam here, a few things that you will see is that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was from a different tribe. He was from Banu Israel. And Shuayb alayhi salatu wasalam was Arab. Madian. A lot of times this fact right here that they're not from the same background, I understand. Cultures meet, it's easier to get together. But sometimes you have to realize it won't always be the conventional, the perfect match. A lot of times things will not be what you're used to. Number two, at this time Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was actually homeless. He left his house in Egypt and now comes to Madian. He has no home, he has no income. And Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, when he meets with Musa alayhi salam, there are three conditions that he keeps in mind. Number one, is my daughter happy? Again, asking if your daughter is happy or asking if your child is happy with the marriage isn't something wrong. But when Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam sees that his daughter is actually interested in Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, number one, check mark. Number two, does Musa alayhi salatu wasalam understand responsibilities? And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then works for Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam for an expanded period of time. Number three, is he trustworthy? He had many opportunities to do something wrong. But even then he says to Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, I'm going to walk ahead, you walk behind me, to keep ourselves pure. And looking at the story, again, we talk about the unconventional part of the story. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam lives with his in-laws. He, number one, works for his father-in-law for a period of 8 to 10 years. In today's day and age, if you ask somebody, who do you work for, what job you do, and you say, I work for my father-in-law, what kind of man is this guy? He works for his father-in-law? And then he actually lives with his in-laws as well, what we call ghar jama'i. And if ghar jama'i is like, in our society, absolutely not. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran as a ghar jama'i for, ghar jama'i means somebody who lives with their in-laws, for 8 to 10 years. And you want to question Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's masculinity? How much of a man he was? But this is telling us, breaking the society norms, what society deems to be right, is actually a part of Islam. When there's something good, don't leave it. I mean, look at the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Khadija radhiyallahu anha. There are so many society norms that were broken in this marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, an-nikah min sunnati nikah is from my sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, number one, Khadija radhiyallahu anha was much older. In today's day and age, if the girl is much older, that marriage is not happening. Number two, she was previously married. Twice. She was widowed twice. And again, in our society, that's a huge no. Number three, our society says that it's the guy that has to propose to the girl, and if the guy does not propose, then she's going to stay there and wait and wait and wait until he mans up. In the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Khadija anha, it was actually Khadija anha who proposed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she sent this lady to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about marriage. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know what, I don't have money. How am I going to pay for crystal banquet hall? The 3-4 course meal, the mehndi, the wedding, the reception, the photographer. We put such a huge price tag on it, because our focus is on the wedding and not on the marriage. Two different parts. Nikah is not just the kabul hai part, but nikah is a long-term relationship that many of us may have said yes many years ago and that was it, and we no longer focus on our marriage aspect, our nikah aspect, because we did the wedding. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then says to her, look, I don't have wealth. And Khadija says, that's fine. I'm older, that's fine. I've been married before, that's fine. I will propose, the girl will propose to the guy, that's fine. You don't have wealth, that's fine. Why? Because when you see somebody that has the right qualities, again, we're trying to make halal easy. When you see somebody that has the right qualities, pursue it before it's too late. Before now, you're worried about my daughter being 35 years old, my son already having so many haram relationships, and then we point a finger at them, you messed up. The reality is that we have a hand in this as well. And if we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of how he carried out his marriages, that's a whole different discussion. Whole different emphasis upon taking care of one another, focusing on the good within a marriage. But inshallah, we'll leave that for a different day. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان أو الله سبحانه we ask for mercy أو الله سبحانه وتعالى we ask that you help us in marrying off our single people in our community أو الله سبحانه وتعالى we ask that you find them righteous spouses أو الله سبحانه وتعالى we ask that you give us the correct criteria of their marriage أو الله سبحانه وتعالى wherever there is somebody that is finding it difficult to get married أو الله from your treasures we ask that you provide them with a spouse that is compatible with them. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anybody that's having trouble within their marriage, oh Allah, we ask that you ease their matters and give them love and muhabba and understanding for one another. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever there's a Muslim that's going through any type of trouble, oh Allah, we ask that you remove those difficulties from their path. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you forgive our sins. Oh Allah, we ask that you overlook our shortcomings. Oh Allah, we ask that you pardon our mistakes. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for Jannah and that which brings us close to Jannah. Oh Allah, make us people who practice sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just the external sunnahs, but also the internal sunnahs. Oh Allah, we ask you to be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa aqim as-salah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة هيا للفلاح هيا للفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
So, there is a dua request for baby Isa who's in the ICU with some heart issues. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the family sabr and patience and strength in his hard time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him shifa. A complete everlasting shifa wa afiya and khair. Amin ya rabbal alamin.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Wa salatu ala ashrafil mursalin. Brother, this is Abdul Malik. I came from Indiana. I would like to share the important story happened between our community and someone his name Mike. He's a Christianity. 1 year ago, we decided to open the first full-time school. Subhanallah, we found the land and the building, 4.7 acres. The owner, his name Mike, he's not Muslim, he's Catholic, and he was asked for his land and the building, $500,000. Brothers and sisters, when we told him we're gonna open it, the Islamic school, Mike, what he did with us, he donated for us, subhanallah. He donated the land and the building. Now we work hard to refix inside it. Alhamdulillah, we fixed the roof, and now we work hard to fix inside it. Is they gonna charge us around $300,000? So I came here to ask everyone to help us by dua, by donate. Anyways, I'm gonna be outside. If someone who wanna donate by credit card or cash or anything, I will be outside. Barakallahu fiikum, muhafadakum Allah, ra'akum, jazakum Allah.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Just a quick announcement that the Jumu'ah times are going to change starting next week. The first Jumu'ah will be at 12:45, the second at 1:35, and the third at 2:25. So, and accordingly, third Jumu'ah will not be, or the time will not be the same as it is now. Tonight we have our matrimonial service info session after Maghrib with Imam Mahad Gamar. And we have the Imam of the Badshahi Masjid in Lahore after Isha. And lastly, just a reminder that we are still raising money for the Pakistan Flood Relief Food Drive. It's $75 a box, and you can pay that at the kiosk. Jazakallah khair, everybody.